This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
President Mike Pence says there is no second wave of the coronavirus, and the president says he's still going to have his rally coming up this weekend. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Zeoli Show on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. 855-839-1210 is our number. 855-839-1210. Look, there's a lot of questions regarding the second wave of the coronavirus. Look, here's what I'll tell you. I'll tell you that I would bet money that come this fall, if the economy is booming again, as we get closer to the election, you're going to hear more and more prognosticators tell you that there's going to be a second wave and you got to stay home and then more states locking down. That's my sense of it. I'm telling you. And it just seems like we're going down that road. And it's become one of those things, become political again. You know, it's blue versus red. It's the left believing that there's a second wave and the right believing that there isn't. And like everything else, it becomes political and everybody has to pick sides. What do the numbers tell? What is the data showing? The data showing that, yes, the cases are going up. They're doing more testing. Are there more hospitalizations? Are there more deaths? Those are the numbers you have to watch as time goes on. But I do think what's interesting in all of this, of course, is that Americans are just going out there and taking a risk. They call it quarantine fatigue. They're saying, I want out. I want to go out. I want to enjoy myself. Maybe you feel that way, too. It's a sense of, I have to get out of the house. I've been trapped in my house for 3 months. And I'll do whatever I got to do, but I want to go out there. So if I have to wear a mask, I'll wear a mask. I don't care. I just have to get out of the house and I need to be outside. The good news is that the spending is going up. The signs on the economy are all moving in a very, very strong, strong positive direction. And that's fantastic. Now, there's an effort underway to impeach Governor Tom Wolf in Pennsylvania. Good. I say that good. He should get impeached. The guy's a tyrant who doesn't believe in separation of powers or checks and balances. A lawmaker wants Wolf impeached. And that's what he's looking to do. This state senator who's pushing against the governor today. I say good. That's important. Governor Tom Wolf needs a wake-up call. He really does. He needs a wake-up call so that everybody understands that he's not a king. State Rep. Daryl Metcalf has introduced a resolution calling for the impeachment of Governor Tom Wolf. GOP lawmakers have argued Wolf's actions have crippled the state's economy. So State Rep., not Senator, excuse me. State Rep. Metcalf has put this out today. Butler County Republican introduced a resolution. It has 24 co-sponsors, by the way, 24, to impeach Governor Tom Wolf. Republican lawmakers who control the General Assembly have clashed with the Democratic governor's management during the coronavirus. GOP lawmakers have argued Wolf's actions have crippled the state's economy, and they say he has regularly exceeded his authority. This comes from Ron Southwick, writing this at PennLive.com. Quote, while these certainly unprecedented and chaotic times, Governor Tom Wolf must be held accountable for his actions that have harmed so many of our citizens and violated so many of our rights. Metcalf said in a statement released Tuesday, Wolf's unconstitutional dictates and Orwellian overreach into our lives and the marketplace have caused immeasurable harm and hardship for far more Pennsylvanians than the virus did. A resolution impeaching Thomas W. Wolf, governor of Pennsylvania, for misbehavior in office. Other state lawmakers signing on as sponsors of the resolution include Representative Russ Diamond, Rob Kaufman, Dawn Kiefer, Mark Keller, Dan Moule, Francis Ryan, David Zimmerman, and Bill Patton, a House Democrat spokesman, defended Wolf's leadership in the crisis. The governor's doing the job he was elected to do. And the last thing the state needs right now is a circus sideshow. House Democrats will give this political stunt no more attention than it deserves. You know what's amazing about this is that we the Democrats impeached President Trump over this quid pro quo thing, right? And we were told that this was necessary for the separation of powers, the checks and balances, and everything like this. There's an impeachment effort against Governor Tom Wolf, and we're told it's a distraction, a circus, a sideshow. It doesn't really matter. But do you notice what they're not denying is the fact that Governor Tom Wolf has ruled like an absolute authoritarian from day one of this. Just like his counterpart in Jersey, King Murphy, these two have ruled like absolute tyrants. Nobody can question them. Nobody can second guess them. Nobody's allowed to even suggest that they might be abusing their power. And if you come out and speak against them, you wind up getting ostracized. Over in New Jersey, there's a whistleblower who came out and said he was fired by the Murphy administration for trying to speak truth to what's going on. A whistleblower. Now, I also remember that whistleblowers were the issue of the impeachment around President Trump. If you remember that we had to trust whistleblowers. Whistleblowers were somebody that we have to always believe. There's no one that can doubt a whistleblower. They are always brave heroes who come out and risk their lives and their careers to come out and speak up. And we have to pay attention to them. Have you even heard about this whistleblower in Jersey? The several of them have come out now and have spoken out against the governor and said, the guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And not only that, too, he's making it all up as he goes along, And so you have people now coming out and they're speaking out against Murphy and Wolf in both states. Now, people have had enough. I was fired after denying Murphy's top aide coronavirus test for his family, a health department official claims. A high ranking state health department official in New Jersey mysteriously let go at the height of the pandemic. Alleges the real reason he was fired was because he pushed back on a request to test relatives of Governor Phil Murphy's top aide for coronavirus, calling it a complete waste of his time. According to a newly filed whistleblower lawsuit obtained by NJ Advance Media, Christopher Newworth, who served as assistant commissioner for the Division of Public Health, Infrastructure, Laboratories and Emergency Preparedness, claimed that he was ordered in late April to provide test kits to family members of George Helmy, the governor's chief of staff. The test, of course, was for COVID-19. This is from NJ.com. Newworth said he was abruptly fired after raising concerns within the department about the ethics of providing scarce specimen collection supplies to people connected to the governor. At the time, New Jersey was only testing those with symptoms of COVID-19 because of a shortage of supplies and manpower. Hundreds of people were still driving to public testing sites, waiting hours online, being turned away. There's only 500 tests were available each day. Clearly, we cannot say no. We're advising them that this test doesn't matter, and it's a complete waste of an AC's time, assistant commissioner's time, to spend literally 6 hours collecting one specimen. He wrote in an email sent to the chief of staff of health commissioner Judith Persicelli. I'm sharing this with you simply for documentation and in case this continues to spiral out of control. A spokesman for the governor, King Phil Murphy the Unaccountable, in response to the lawsuit said, we can look forward to putting a vigorous defense against this meritless complaint. And he had no comment, of course, at his coronavirus briefing. But he did say, though, I literally don't know where we would be in this state without Pat Callahan and George Helmy. George Helmy being the whistleblower. One of the things that I think is interesting about these two governors, right? These two tyrants who go it alone. And I'm going to ask you this question. If signs point to a, quote, second wave of the virus, will they shut things down again? You bet. You know they will. Come on. You know it. They love this power. They don't want to give it up. They do not want to give it up. Now, there's lots of reasons why you could point to a second wave. I mean, it's like anything else. If you want to use the numbers and prove that there's a second wave, you can certainly do that. If you want to use the numbers and prove that it's just more refined testing, robust testing, you can do that too. If you want to look at China, new outbreaks at a China market, schools are being shut down again, flights are halted, residents rounded up. This is the Drudge Report right now. New outbreak at China market, schools shut, flights halted, residents rounded up, wartime mode, here we go again. You know what's going to happen. Obviously, in the fall, when the flu comes back, as it does every fall, you're going to have people, everybody with the slightest sneeze or headache or cough, everybody's going to lose their freaking minds and panic. And they're going to start shutting things down again. Schools, I mean, I imagine that that's what they're going to do. And this is important because you've got, like, blue state governors who are already refusing to even give up their power right now in the summer when things are the tide has turned. And then you got red governors like Ron DeSantis in Florida saying, we're not shutting down again. We're not doing it again. Just no way. We'll figure this out. We'll figure something out if there's a second wave, but we're not giving it up. And so then the experts come out and go, well, you know, we're still in the first wave of infection. We're not done with the first wave yet. Over at in China, the things that are happening over here, schools called off classes, forcing students to exchange abrupt farewells, officials sealing off neighborhoods, and residents stuck inside complaining about limited food deliveries. Medical workers testing tens of thousands of residents. After a fresh outbreak of coronavirus infections, the city of Beijing has begun imposing a milder reprise of the controls that China enforced across the country. With its arsenal of high-tech surveillance tools and other authoritarian powers, the virus that causes COVID-19 can leap back into life, triggering new and disruptive restrictions. The Chinese Communist Party has reacted to the latest outbreak with a tough approach. Much is at stake for the party's credibility. In recent weeks, officials have been trumpeting their success in stifling the virus. Now it's back in the city of over 21 million. Here's what I would tell you. Like anything else, what we're witnessing right now, with whether it's Tom Wolf or Phil Murphy or some of these other authoritarians out there, we witness their hypocrisy on full display. These jerks who think that it's okay for them to march in the streets of protesters, but you can't go out to dinner with your friends and sit inside a restaurant. These jerks who are making everything about themselves and ruling with an iron fist. And there's pushback now from people. There's pushback from people. There's pushback from legislators. There's a lot of pushback. But you know what we've realized now? The absolute power of these people is uncontestable. If there's an emergency, you can't challenge it. And I have no hope for the Supreme Court. After their abomination of rulings that came out of the Supreme Court the other day, I have no hope in them that they're going to be able to set this right. They have decided now that in the case of an emergency, these governors shall reign supreme. So I ask you the question, and it's a good question to ask, as all my questions are. Can you see a point in the fall when people are getting sick? And we don't even know if it's the flu or COVID-19, but out of an abundance of caution, if schools even reopen, they're suddenly shut down. And if restaurants are open by then, they're now suddenly told that they have to close. Will they get a handle on it? Will they figure things out right before the election? See, I definitely believe that. I have no doubts about that. You want to call me a conspiracy buff? Fine. I don't care. I think it's the fact that these guys are so, they are drunk, hell-bent drunk with power is what they are. They are drunk with it. Murphy and Wolf and Carney and a bunch of Cuomo. I mean, this guy Cuomo, he loves it. Every day he's on TV. Every day he goes on with his pontifications and his repetitive nonsense. One of the options, of course, for a second wave lockdown could be what some countries are doing, which is they do 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. But you know how these governors are. They want these all lockdown, top-down approaches to everything. And with an election coming up in November, with an economy that's going strong, do I think they would do it deliberately to hurt Donald Trump? Yeah, I do, actually. As a matter of fact, I do. But it doesn't matter because it even beyond Donald Trump, it's bigger than that. It's about two small little men, Tom Wolf and Phil Murphy, incredibly insecure little men, very insecure, who have all this power that can't be challenged. You have a legislature in New Jersey that doesn't care that this guy is doing it by himself. You've got Republicans in Pennsylvania finally stepping up, passing bills to say, we're reining you in, governor. He's challenging it in court, refusing to yield to the legislative branch of government. So you don't think the first sneeze that a kid goes through in the fall, they're going to shut down schools? Of course they're going to do that. Come on. I'm betting on that fact, by the way. I'm betting on it. See, I'm a smart guy, and I know these things that are coming. I can tell. I got like a spidey sense with this stuff. And if I were a betting man, I would tell you that the smart money is that maybe the kids go back to school in September, but the first sneeze, the first time that there's a couple people who get it in a school, that's it. They start shutting things down again. I just think that's the mindset of these governors. I really do. That is the mindset of what we're dealing with here. And what can we, the people, do about it? And if you listen to the media, they turn around, they go, oh, no, listen, there's a second wave coming and everybody's denying it now. They're all deniers. So Mike Pence puts out an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. He says, look, there's no second wave. Mike Pence, the guy who was hailed over and over again for being the smart guy, the guy who was not Donald Trump, who was leading with integrity and was not using politics. He writes this op-ed. He goes, look, We're seeing more testing now. Our hospitals have capacity. But we're not seeing a second wave. We're seeing now what is the natural progression of the virus. And it is very contagious, and we know that that's happening. Here's the other little secret, too, which is that they also know that people have to eventually get this thing for it to become for herd immunity effect. You got to have that at some point. Can't sit back and wait for a vaccine. But because everything is political, you know that the wise rules are going to say this fall, we have to shut down over an abundance of caution. And you know as well as I do that that's what the media is going to be saying. It's what the blue state governors are going to be saying. And that if you don't agree with more lockdowns and shutdowns, you are a science denier and a COVID denier and blah, 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 blah. But the economic devastation and destruction that would come with a second lockdown would be, I mean, we couldn't survive that. But maybe, again, that's the goal, right? Maybe that's the goal. Maybe that is one of the other very much intended consequences of all this. I guess the bottom line is this. Enjoy your summer. Enjoy what freedom you have right now. Welcome the pushback on these two tyrants, Wolf and Murphy. I applaud Metcalf wanting to impeach Governor Tom Wolf. I say good. And I wish they would do the same thing in Jersey. I wish Steve Sweeney, the Senate president, would get a backbone and step up and do something to help small businesses in Jersey. Because he's like a frightened little turtle. You don't even hear from Steve Sweeney anymore. Push back on these guys. These monarchs. But enjoy the freedom now, because I'm telling you, these people drunk on power are going to want to take it away from you as soon as possible. 855-839-1210. And if you don't agree with it, you're just a denier. 855-839-1210. It just really infuriates me.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Okay. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. The number for you to weigh in today on all of these issues. Of course, the big story we're talking about is this notion of a second wave. It is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo is privacy on the internet. Same internet, but with privacy, so you don't have to worry about all that tracking. Use that browser today, and you will be on the internet without the tracking. DuckDuckGo. Okay. The president signed an executive order yesterday on police reform. Senator Tim Scott will introduce his bill on police reform a little bit later in the day today. Christopher Columbus, the statue is in a box, and we don't know if he's wearing pants in the box. We don't know because he's in a box. Don't know. Here's Kenny, by the way. See, you reported on this yesterday, Dawn. Jim yes. Kenny, the mayor of Philadelphia, was going to tell everybody yesterday, oh, no, we're not going to remove it in the middle of the night. We want to have a commission. We want to talk to people, right?
Yes. Remember that? That's what he said.
Yeah. He's full of it. He's another one full of nonsense. This is Kenny talking about the difference between the Rizzo and the Columbus statue. Remember, the statue of former mayor Frank Rizzo was carted off in the dark of night, taken to an undisclosed location. I believe a CIA, one of those prisons that they use for terrorists. Maybe. Cut six.
Boxing of the statue is being in agreement with people who tried to restrain us from in order to preserve it and to keep it safe. And that process has been employed in other Confederate statues around the South to make sure that no one defaces it. But I don't have an exact date. There's a meeting of the Art Commission in July. We may be trying to get it scheduled for there, but I have no feedback yet on whether or not that's done.
And so it's your understanding that the city does have the legal right to do it, but are you in court about it now?
No, I think there was a group. I went and filed a restraining order thinking we were taking it out, just unilaterally, which we did not have an intention of doing. The Rizzo statue, on the other hand, the governor had issued an emergency declaration. The statue became the focal point of a lot of protest and people trying to set it on fire. And we were concerned about the municipal services building. So we decided, in the interest of public safety, to remove it. We removed it at night, clearly because there would have been 2,000-4,000 people there today. We wanted to avoid any kind of confrontation or injury. That's not the case with the Columbus statue. There's not an emergency declaration in place. We will follow the process as we know it.
But we're going to cover him up and put him in a box for his own safety, for the statue's own safety. Got it?
Yes.
I feel bad. Poor statue. In there by himself in this box. It's creepy. What if he comes to life at night? Anybody ever wonder that? Like in those movies? What was that dumb movie where the statues come to life? What was it, Night at the Museum, right?
Yeah, with Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller, yeah.
I almost said Ben Affleck. Ben Stiller.
Then it would have been worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, Robin Williams was Teddy Roosevelt, right, in that movie?
I love that. My kids love that movie. It's great.
Imagine if Columbus, if that movie's true and statues wake up in the middle of the night, Columbus wakes up and goes, the hell am I doing in this freaking box? The hell? What did I do? I've just been here. I haven't done anything.
But like, Columbus is in the movie.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. The running joke is Ben Stiller doesn't know who he is.
Really?
Yeah. Columbus walks by like three,
you know what this means
times.
Then, right?
What?
Night at the Museum is going to have to be banned.
Exactly.
That movie's going to have, it's unwoke. It's going to have to be removed.
At least put the warning or digitally alter it to remove Christopher Columbus.
Why don't they make his character in a box and he could just run around in a box, put CGI?
Well, I think the movie, it was either produced or directed by Chris Columbus. So I think that's why they put that joke in there. I'll have to double check that.
Is Chris Columbus related to Christopher Columbus?
It's possible. Who knows? I mean,
So Hollywood might have to ban and box him.
It was produced by Chris Columbus.
How freaking stupid is this that we are actually now putting statues in boxes? I mean, come on.
Well, the box, doesn't it look like a coffin?
Yes.
You know?
It's like a giant high-rise box. It's weird. It's kooky. It's creepy. Yeah. It doesn't seem like America. And I love how Kenny's like, yeah, we did it to protect the statue for its own safety. You know who was doing that? The residents of South Philly were doing that. They were doing it just fine. They didn't need you to put them in a box. Mayor, but he didn't like them out there. That's why, Dawn. He didn't like the look of the vigilantes. He called them vigilantes.
Vigilantes, saying they were in danger.
He didn't like the idea that the people were actually trying to protect their own neighborhoods.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
That statue is going to be gone. What's going to happen is, right now, they're digging a tunnel. I'm telling you.
This is a
great
theory.
And they're going to pull that statue from inside the box, David Copperfield style, and then when they finally, one day, open up the box, there's no Columbus there. You'll see.
Abracadabra.
Night at the Museum will have to be removed, which is probably a good thing because it's not really.
It's a cute. No, it's cute.
You think so?
Yeah.
Cinematic masterpiece.
Joe, I'm so impressed, Joe Sebelia, parody director, that you actually saw a movie that's post 1950.
Oh, well, it's part of my childhood. I mean, I got to stay up to date with a couple of things, Rich.
That's true. You do. That's a good point. We have all these new, you know, these Disney movies that have these warning labels and these cultural outdated this and outdated that. I saw now there's another effort to censor something that's out there right now. You know what it is too. What I think is happening with everything right now is that anybody who comes out and says anything stupid becomes a movement. So guess what the latest movement is. What do you think they want banned now? Want to guess? I'll give you a hint, Dawn. It's cereal, okay? Dawn?
I don't know. That's so funny. I was going to say cereal.
Yep. Which cereal in particular? How about this? I'm going to give you a hint. Snap, crackle pop. That's right. Rice Krispies. Fiona Onasaina, a former Labor Party member of Parliament who became only the second person in history to be kicked out of Parliament by their own voters using a recall petition, has called on Kellogg's to justify why Rice Krispies is represented with three white boys while the Cocoa Pops mascot is a monkey. As you are yet to reply to my email, Cocoa Pops and Rice Krispies have the same composition, except for the fact that the Cocoa Puffs are brown and chocolate flavored. So I was wondering why Rice Krispies have three white boys representing the brand and Cocoa Pops have a monkey. The disgraced former MP wrote on social media while failing to tag the correct amount for the cereal makers, UK and Ireland arm. Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Three white boys. So there you go. Did you know that this was a racist cereal?
I did not know it was racist, but I did know that, well, the boys are actually, they're actually elves. But they could just make them.
They're white supremacist elves.
Yeah, so they should just diversify the elf community there.
Yeah, are the Keebler elves next?
Yes, because you got to have elf diversity.
You got to have that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe
by the way,
you know,
the Cocoa Puffs mascot, I'm looking, I mean, I think it's a bird.
No.
No, there's a different, there's a Kellogg's Cocoa Pops, which has a monkey on
cute little monkey.
Cocoa Puffs is a bird, and Cocoa Krispies are the three Snap, Crackle, and Pop. So yeah, there's three different kinds. I had never heard of Cocoa Pops before.
Maybe it's just in the UK. Cocoa Pops, it's a monkey with a baseball hat on, Cocoa Pops.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she believes that that's racist. Okay.
Yeah, I don't really. Yeah, in the UK.
Apparently, that's only for sale in Britain. It's the British version of this.
Well, you know, yeah, they're just going to change it.
It probably tastes like garbage, like everything else. The food in Britain, it's the worst, right? So it probably taste. You got to put a pound of salt on it.
It does look like a cheap knockoff of Cocoa Puffs. Which
yeah, a cheap
delicious.
Racist knockoff of Cocoa Puffs by the racist Brits.
At least it's not, you know, Fruit Loops, which does have the red dye.
Still with the red dye? They haven't taken the red dye out?
No, the red dye is in a couple of them. So you got to watch that red dye.
Now, Cocoa Pebbles has Barney and Fred Flintstone on it. Do you know
yes.
that?
Oh. Yes.
So,
Cocoa Pebbles,
Greg. Cocoa Pebbles.
Yeah.
Has Barney and Fred on it. So that's not racist, I guess.
No. I don't know. Well, I mean, they are two white guys.
And Fruity Pebbles, which has the red dye in it, has Barney and has the, you know, Flintstones.
You know, the Snap, Crackle, Pop guys, those guys.
Yeah, elves.
You know, if you look sometimes in the box, you get a Confederate flag. Did you know that's a little
stop.
Surprise?
But see, I thought like the elves are like sort of trans. That's what they should have, the first trans elf.
Trans elf cereal?
Why yeah, are they just, trans?
I don't know. It's just like, can you really tell what they are? They're an elf.
There you go. Know. Why not?
Rich,
how stupid
like
is this that we're discussing politically incorrect cereal?
It's don't eat cereal. It's not good for you or your kids anyway.
So
I love cereal, but how dumb is the world? Like, we're at this place now. We're discussing politically incorrect freaking cereal.
Yeah.
It's like, I want the Mayan calendar to be true. Why can't we just end, maybe? You know what I mean? This is one of those signs. Well, you've reached the tipping point, as Malcolm Gladwell will say, of just utter, utter outrage stupidity. You go, all right, you know what? You had me up until Snap, Crackle, and Pop, all right? This is where I get off the crazy train. And I got to tell you, this is a bridge too far
you
for me with this
me
lunacy.
Until Snap, Crackle.
All right? 855-839-1210. And I want to, Joe Sebelius cereal also has that pro police brutality. What is it, Joe?
It's a Paw Patrol. It has the Paw dog on it on my box of kicks. I hope I got a discount for it because I'll be triggered if I didn't.
First of all, you're a grown man. You shouldn't be eating Kix cereal. That's number one.
I was just kidding. Exactly.
Number one.
What is kid tested?
You're a grown man with a full-time job, and do you want a woman? Do you want a woman at some point in your life?
Well, sure.
Yeah, he's on
stop
those dating
sites. Stop cereal.
Oh, come on. Yeah. What goes over better on a first date than having a bowl of Kix with your girl?
One thing that's never served for breakfast the next morning in your house, Kix cereal. I know there's only one bowl, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Joe, so it has the pro police brutality Paw Patrol dog on the box?
Yes, it does. And it even you can cut it out on the back. They have a... You know those things you cut out the picture and then you cut out the two little holes and you put your fingers through it?
Yes.
And it's like legs. Yeah, they have that of the police brutality dog.
I don't. So you better save that box. It's going to be a collector's item.
I'm putting it in a bank vault.
Yeah, put that in a bank vault along with your Rice Krispies before they're gone, too. I wish I could Snap, Crackle, Pop off this planet sometime. You ever feel that way? Just ride that Lucky Charms rainbow right the hell out of here.
Oh, Lucky Charms.
There you go. That guy's going to be called out for like homophobia at some point or something. There's something coming with that guy, too.
Well, that little fairy elf, see, they should diversify that. The Lucky Charms guy.
I believe that's called a leprechaun dog.
Yeah, leprechaun.
Fairy elf. Well, that's an Irish stereotype anyway, so I'm sure that's going to have to be removed at some point, too. Yeah. You know
I'm
what
offended
I mean?
By that as a ginger.
I have it on good authority. Christopher Columbus, while he's in his box, he enjoys eating all these offensive cereals. The world is so freaking stupid.
Why don't they paint that box?
855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. President signed an executive order on police reform. I'll tell you what's in there.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yes, 855-839-1210 for you to weigh in today on all these topics of the day. J. Ron Smith is a White House advisor to the president. He was discussing yesterday what the vision is with regards to police reform, what the vision is, what they're trying to achieve here. Cut number 12.
I mean, it's just like criminal justice reform. A lot of the criminal justice reform elements didn't move because law enforcement didn't agree with a lot of the pieces. And so let's start on all the things that we agree with and get those things done, because they can be very beneficial. Like she mentioned, the co-responder program. If you put a co-responder program, and that's one of our recommendations to Congress, is to fund that co-responder program. You deal with a lot of issues of mental health and drug addiction or homelessness. And I can tell you, with the drug addiction piece, many of these individuals shouldn't be arrested in the first place. Maybe they need a social worker to deal with their drug addiction. Maybe they need help with dealing with drinking to cope with the pain that they have with not being able to get a job. So it's not just those issues, it's other issues. That's why the president last week offered policies for access to capital, creating access to education, and also fixing health disparities. I think we have to have a holistic vision for how we want to revitalize these communities.
What's important here is for the police to be in on this. And that's why the president was working and reaching out to them to make sure that he has their buy-in. If you have the buy-in of the police departments around America, you're then going to have reform. That's the key, right? I told you earlier, you know, people do not want to have cops don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, I hope I can choke a guy to death. I hope that's my goal here, is to kill a guy today. That's not how it works. They don't want that. They don't want to do that. And so when you have these issues of like banning chokeholds, which the president banned yesterday with his executive order, unless it's an officer's life is in danger, I know some people are going to look at that cynically and say, well, they're always going to claim that. I just don't believe the average person goes into policing because they are a bad person and they want to hurt people. There are people like that. And so that's why you got to make sure that they are eradicated from the police force. You got to get them out of the force. There's no doubt about that. But thank God they're not the majority, right? Thank God they're not the issue here. The president, in outlining his executive orders yesterday on this, he talked about what would be the harm in removing the police out of some of these communities. Cut number one.
Every day, police officers make great sacrifices to keep our communities secure and safe. In 2018, our police arrested nearly 12,000 people for murder, 25,000 people for rape, and nearly 1.5 million for assault. Very dangerous criminals. In many cases, local law enforcement is understaffed and under-supported. 47% of all murders in Chicago and 68% of all murders in Baltimore went without arrests last year. Americans want law and order. They demand law and order. They may not say it. They may not be talking about it, but that's what they want. Some of them don't even know that's what they want, but that's what they want. And they understand that when you remove the police, you hurt those who have the least, the most. Nobody needs a strong, trustworthy police force more than those who live in distressed areas. And nobody is more opposed to the small number of bad police officers. And you have them. They're very tiny. I use the word tiny. It's a very small percentage. But you have them. But nobody wants to get rid of them more than the overwhelming number of really good and great police officers. Some of them are standing with me and with me in the audience today, and I appreciate you being here.
That's true, by the way. There's nobody hates bad cops more than good cops, because they bring down the they ruin the profession. They tarnish all of them. Nobody wants to be associated with that, you know, that bastard who kneeled on George Floyd's neck and killed that man, murdered that man. Nobody wants to be associated with that. People put on the badge and they risk their lives and they go out there because they want to uphold the law. They want to be, they want to do the good. Now, obviously, there's a lot of stupid laws they have to enforce, which is dumb, but they don't write the laws. They enforce them. You know, I always say if there are dumb, stupid laws out there, we got to deal with that as well. But that's not on the cops. That's on the people that write these dumb laws. But cops want to go out there and protect people. They don't want to go out there and kill people. That's just one of those myths that's put out there. So the president talked about what some of the things they're going to do and how federal funds will be used throughout this as he signed his executive order on policing. Cut number two.
We need to bring law enforcement and communities closer together, not to drive them apart. Under the executive order I'm signing today, we will prioritize federal grants from the Department of Justice to police departments that seek independent credentialing, certifying that they meet high standards, and in fact, in certain cases, the highest standard. That's where they do the best, on the use of force and de-escalation training. For example, many believe that proper training might have prevented the tragic deaths of Antoine Rose and Botham Jean. As part of this new credentialing process, chokeholds will be banned, except if an officer's life is at risk. And I will say we've dealt with all of the various departments, and everybody said, it's time. We have to do it. Additionally, we're looking at new advanced and powerful, less lethal weapons to help prevent deadly interactions. New devices are being developed all the time, and we're looking at the best of them. And cost is no object. No object. Under this executive order, departments will also need a share of information about credible abuses so that officers with significant issues do not simply move from one police department to the next. That's a problem. And the heads of our police department said, whatever you can do about that, please let us know. We're letting you know. We're doing a lot about it. In addition, my order will direct federal funding to support officers in dealing with homeless individuals and those who have mental illness and substance abuse problems. We will provide more resources for co-responders, such as social workers who can help officers manage these complex encounters. And this is what they've studied and worked on all their lives. They understand how to do it. We're going to get the best of them put in our police departments and working with our police. We will have reform without undermining our many great and extremely talented law enforcement officers.
It's really important to remember what the president talked about the bad cops who move from department to department. And you've had issues like that that's happened in the past. And certainly there's not a chief of police that wants to get a bad cop on in his department because it reflects on him. It's his career, too. It's his pension. And so that's one of the reforms. See, what they did at the White House, which I think is very smart, is they worked with police on crafting this reform. They also listened to the victims' families, too. Because immediately the Democrats are going to come up and scream and go, you're just trying to make the cops happy. So what the president also did yesterday, the White House did, is they brought in the families of the victims of police encounters, right, police shootings, to have them come in and speak with the president directly. And he spoke to them as part of this signing yesterday, this executive order, cut number three.
Though we may all come from different places and different backgrounds, we're united by our desire to ensure peace and dignity and equality for all Americans. Many of these families lost their loved ones in deadly interactions with police. To all of the hurting families, I want you to know that all Americans mourn by your side. Your loved ones will not have died in vain. We are one nation. We grieve together. And we heal together. I can never imagine your pain or the depth of your anguish, but I can promise to fight for justice for all of our people. And I gave a commitment to all of those families today with Senator Tim Scott and Attorney General Bill Barr. We are going to pursue what we said. We will be pursuing it, and we will be pursuing it strongly, Tim, right?
So on that point, you know, you have the families of some of the people who've been shot by police turn around and say, this isn't enough. They have to do more. Well, remember, the president only has so much he can do with an executive order. Thank God for that fact, by the way, because we need to have the legislative branch do their thing. And there's only so much the feds can do. Police departments are local departments. They are departments of local governments. They are a department of government, just like the, you know, the waste department or the land use department or whatever, the health department. They are a department of the local government. The power of the police comes from the state. The state that allows towns to have the cops and counties and that sort of thing. And then the various agencies. But it all is created out of the state. There's only so much the feds can do. Thank God for that fact, too, because I don't really want a federal police department. I don't want the federal government running all these things. So that's where you have to have Congress get involved. But look, I'm telling you right now, none of us want the federal government to come out and be heavy handed on controlling police in America. That's not the right answer either. There are certain reforms you can take. There are some I wish they would be addressing. I've mentioned qualified immunity several times to you, which is a federal issue. And of course, you know, banning chokeholds, which is a good move. But again, I question whether or not the federal government has the authority to even do that. But if you believe in federalism, you have to realize now these reforms have to happen at the state level. And Democrats need to ask, voters need to ask Democrats a question. You've been in charge of these cities that have been run by you for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. Why is it taking the Republicans in the Congress and the Republican in the White House to deal with something that is a municipal issue that you have failed at doing? Why is that? I'd like that question to be asked, because at the end of the day, that is the truth right there. These are municipal departments, local departments in cities ruled by Democrats with an iron fist for decades. Why have the Democrats not been able to achieve any of this, huh? Somebody should ask that question.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All righty. As we are moving along, we are looking at a various number of different things here. A little bit later in the show, I'm going to bring on my buddy Cam Edwards from Bearing Arms. What did the Supreme Court, how bad did they get it on the Second Amendment 2 days ago with their rulings? It was a bad, bad day for the Second Amendment, unfortunately, from this so-called conservative court. We'll talk about that as well with my buddy Cam, particularly a New Jersey case that the Supreme Court did not grant a writ of cert to hear that challenge to a case, which is a real, real disappointment for a lot of us. Hey, Hint is pure water infused with surprisingly true fruit flavors, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. It's available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint is water with a touch of true fruit flavor. But let us check in with Dawn on this Wednesday as we are all celebrating the boxing of Christopher Columbus. Like, you know, they always had the doxing. Now we have boxing. He's been boxed.
That's right.
The boxing of Columbus.
Good morning. 64 degrees. This is Wednesday, June 17th. Zeoli Show News Live, sponsored by DuckDuckGo. So a move to impeach Governor Tom Wolf by Pennsylvania lawmakers who control the General Assembly. If you missed it, Zeoli had a great take on these 25 Republicans.
Here's my take. Ready?
Up.
Impeach Tom Wolf. That's my take. There you go. Now you're caught up.
So I do have an update on Snap Crackle Pop, because because Quaker Oats just announced Aunt Jemima will be removed and the breakfast brand renamed, as its quote origins are based on a racial stereotype. They just realized this, so it's gone viral.
They just realized that now.
They just realized it.
Didn't Aunt Jemima get a makeup years ago?
Yeah, got a
she
whole.
She got totally transformed, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but they took off the kerchief on her head, I believe, and made her more.
Modern or something.
Yes.
So Dawn, so they're changing it now. Aunt Jemima is gone officially now?
Well, in 6 months.
Oh, 6 months.
So it'll still be Aunt Jemima, which means it's...
Wait, it's still going to be Aunt Jemima?
Yeah.
But there won't be Aunt Jemima.
But they announce that they realize it's based on a racial stereotype. So,
well, the original ad from it...
Yes.
Oof. I mean, it's 1894, the ad for Aunt Jemima's Pancakes. It's a... wow.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it. Oh, man.
It's tough. So,
but here's the thing, too, with Aunt Jemima syrup. It's not real syrup, right?
It's not, but there's no high fructose corn syrup. Which
there isn't?
So that's good.
Oh, okay.
But it's not, no, it's not real. So you want the good, you want the, you know, you want the organic stuff anyway.
Yeah. You know who owns Quaker Oats? Pepsi.
Yes.
PepsiCo. The new name for the corn syrup, disgusting product, will be announced at a later date. They should just call it sweet.
Yes.
It's terrible. I hate that stuff.
Sweet syrup. So the other one.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at some of the old ads for Aunt Jemima.
It's bad. And so people are
I can't read this
tweeting
on the air.
You can't.
I can't. I'll lose my job.
But people are saying, what about Uncle Ben Rastus from Cream of Wheat? They're all racist depictions.
Ben's got to go, too.
Yeah. So glad you guys, you know, people are going, hey, racist, ad lessons, if you didn't get it. So it's
I'm
going
just, I'm literally looking at it, like an ad for Aunt Jemima from the 1890s. And I'm telling you, if I read this, well, we should get Howard Stern to read these.
Well, no, the old Howard Stern.
Right, Greg, can we get pre-woke Howard Stern to do one of his blackface bits and read these ads?
Oh, my gosh.
Do you think he would do that?
Not anymore, no.
Pre-woke Howard Stern.
Pre-woke Howard Stern.
Back in his blackface days when he dropped the N-word all the time in his skits, you know, to highlight Ted Danson. Maybe he could highlight Aunt Jemima's slave roots by doing that as well.
Two quick stories. I thought this was interesting. Researchers are saying, take your vitamin D or get lots of sunshine, which has vitamin D.
I agree.
Because vitamin D may help the symptoms of COVID-19.
I've been hearing a lot more about that.
Yeah.
I've started upping my vitamin D take, too.
So it's key to helping your immune system. It's pretty interesting. So, yeah.
You know what would help also with getting more vitamin D? Getting the hell out of this area because there's not enough sunshine.
Well, yeah, the forecast is coming up. Sorry. I thought this was the coolest thing that's gone viral. So a special disinfectant tunnel has been installed in Russian President Vladimir Putin's house to protect him from COVID-19.
Really?
So it's technology developed by a local company called Motor Technologies. They're like, it's like a car wash. You know how you stay in your car and you drive through and all the stuff sprays you? So before you, like, if you're going to be a guest in his house, it's like going through the car wash.
And
the,
wow.
Yeah, the sprays.
And they'll scrub Vlad down and get the coronavirus off him?
I thought that was a hoot. Researchers released this list. Maybe we'll talk about this another day. It's a list of the most to the worst things you can do, activities that would put you at risk for COVID-19. So the worst I'll just give is that the most likely you're likely to get COVID-19 is going to bars, large music venues, especially if you're singing, because singing is really effective in spreading the virus.
So if you're singing or you're listening to someone sing.
Yeah, you could, you know, you're more likely to catch COVID.
Hmm.
So then comes gyms and stadiums and churches and buffets. Then public pools and schools.
They don't have buffets anymore, do they?
No, they banned them.
They're banned, right?
And then planes and malls and beaches are number six, along with bowling alleys. Number five, offices and even doctor's offices. Number four, grocery stores and hotels, museums, libraries. And then it goes down from going to the gas station. The least risky is just getting takeout or playing tennis.
Playing tennis?
Yes.
What the hell? Hey, Greg, you were right, though, because remember we were talking about whether or not concerts venues will ever come back, and clearly not, since singing is now the number one way to get coronavirus.
So you can't sing.
I don't see concerts coming back. I mean, they're saying 2021. I think if it's going to be 2021, it's going to be late 2021, honestly.
Hmm.
Maybe next summer. Maybe.
Buy the vaccine, you guys. The vaccine could be here as early as December, January.
Oh, yeah.
And also, there are all those studies that 80% of people are asymptomatic or whatever. So what if a lot of us had this?
Right.
What if we had the antibodies? So there's so much we don't know.
There you go.
Anyway.
By the way, what about Mrs. Butterworth? Is she gone too?
I think she's gone.
Is she gone?
I don't know. I have to research that.
John, Tracy sent me John Cardillo's tweet. He said, Aunt Jemima brand, a change name, remove image. Wait, so now it's racist to have a black woman represent a product beloved and used by tens of millions of people. I'm so confused at this point. She doesn't look like the old Aunt Jemima slave depiction from back in the day. No. It's a very flattering picture, I would think, right? I mean, I would imagine, but she's gone. So she's out of a job. Aunt Jemima's losing her job.
Totally out of a job. So this is it. Yeah. So maybe they should just have a different African-American woman as a spokesperson.
What about Mrs. Butterworth? She's done too? Wow.
I know. It's kind of weird because, they're like African-American women who were voicing this and stuff. They're out of these jobs. So who's going to do it?
Mrs. Butterworth, the thick, so rich and still just as sweet. So the whole bottle is Mrs. Butterworth.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay.
So, if they haven't already changed it, they're going to any second. All right.
Oh, man. This is so funny.
I got to talk about DuckDuckGo. Fed up with companies selling your data? DuckDuckGo is on it. They help millions of people like you take back your privacy online. One download free. Search and browse privately. Avoid all the trackers. DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. NBC 10 First Alert forecast. It's a wonderful Wednesday. Enjoy it today because we do have clouds and some rain moving in starting tomorrow. So 50% chance of those showers tomorrow. And then really a cloudy stretch. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Father's Day. We're in the low 80s, but it's humid. 80% chance as of right now of showers over the weekend. But they're spotty showers. They're in and out. So not a washout. And speaking of a lot of water and rain, Hint Water, pure water infused, surprisingly true fruit flavors, watermelon, blackberry, cherry, no sugar, sweeteners, or calories. Available in your local grocery store, drinkhint.com. Hint Water with a touch of true fruit flavor. I'm Dawn, Zioli Show News.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210 is our number. All right. The lesser Cuomo got schooled yesterday by veteran cop Stephen Gaynor on CNN. Before I play that, though, another CNN guy, Van Jones, made a great point yesterday. He was talking about how the president met with victims of police shootings, and this was something that was very important to do. And Van Jones, even though he's a commie, he calls it like he sees it. I give him credit for that. Cut number five.
Well, there were a number of families there who spoke directly with the president, with Barr. Attorney General Barr, and also with Tim Scott, and all those law enforcement people were there listening, and they basically just told their stories, which apparently, according to people I talked to, there were tears, and I think the president was kind and gracious to them. I think Tim Scott in particular was moved by what was being said behind the scenes. I think it was good that that did not turn into a big photo op. That did not turn into a kind of a big media moment. That was more of the process of trying to move this White House forward. And I think those families feel good about having had the chance to tell their stories to the people who have a chance to make a difference.
There you go. And so then the lesser Cuomo had on this this guest here and got schooled by this. Now, Greg, can you set this up for us a little bit, please?
Yeah. So he had this police guy on, and they were talking about the reform and everything like that, and Cuomo of course tried to make it sound like he knew exactly what he was talking about, and this guy told him he didn't. So
Let's take a listen to the lesser cut 13.
And they have to do what they have to do to go home, and you have to look at it from their point of view. This is
we
what
both
he
know he could have gone
necessary.
Home if he hadn't fired at him, and he'd still have a job if he hadn't fired at him.
We don't know what would have happened. We don't
know.
He
was running away, Steve. What was going to happen? He was running away.
Chris, what's he going to do when he runs away? What's he going to do? Now we know what the criminal history is, but we didn't know that at the time. But could he carjack somebody? Could he be scared so much that he's going to kidnap somebody in another car? Is he going to hurt a civilian? There's a lot of things that come into play that you have to play out and go, I'm responsible for this individual that I was going to arrest, and he now has a weapon that I provided him because he took it from me. So I have
a discharged taser is not exactly the most dangerous thing that somebody can be handling around. If he had a knife, if he had a sharp stick, he'd be a lot more dangerous to people than just having the taser. And under the law, you have to believe either that he has something that he's going to seriously hurt somebody with, or that he has committed a crime that makes him a danger to seriously injure somebody? Which of those boxes do they check here?
Well, he has committed a crime. He's committed an ag assault upon two police officers. He's stolen an item.
The analysis is about what he did before the altercation with the police. You don't get to build in what happened in that moment with him as proof of his criminal behavior. That's not in the case law.
You do, because what he does from his actions causes what occurs in his death. Not the previous action where he's
so. Let's stop it right. So Cuomo thinks that if you beat up a cop or you take his weapon or you anything like that, it doesn't count because it's only about what crimes you commit before they try to arrest you. That's Cuomo's logic here on this. You know what's amazing about this is that there was a sheriff in Georgia who's now in a lot of hot water because he dared to say the shooting was justified. I broke down the Rayshard Brooks shooting, and it's terrible. It's very sad. It's very, very sad indeed. But this Georgia sheriff was discussing how the shooting was justified by the police officers because of his actions at the time of the arrest. He's a black sheriff. I should point that out because, of course, obviously everything is about race in this day and age we live in. Cut number seven. Cut
Brooks
seven,
was Joe. Engaged in a fight with the officers. They were on the ground. We know that when we're on the ground, we have a very high likelihood of being hurt or killed. It's not the place we want to be. This is not a wrestling match. The Brooks is able to take a non-lethal weapon, a taser, away from one of the officers, and he flees. They give chase. He's committed two felony obstruction of an officer counts, and he needs to be held accountable. So they are perfectly justified in running behind Brooks to capture him. Brooks turned back to the officers and fired the taser. And we all know this is the third law enforcement agency I've been head of. And in every agency I've gone to, I've required every officer who carries a taser to be tased with it so that you understand the incapacitation. 5 seconds, 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004. 1005. That's 5 whole seconds that if an officer is hit with that taser, that all of his muscles will be locked up and he'll have the inability to move and to respond. And yet he is still responsible for every weapon on his belt. So if that officer had been hit, he still has a firearm on his side, and the likelihood of him being stomped in the head or having his firearm taken and used against him was a probability. And so he did what he needed to do. And this was a completely justified shooting.
Well, I mean, you know, the sheriff says that they are at best, I think.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.